Chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. Get the kids going. Got a lot of kids today. Amen. Good to see you. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 11. I got a few verses in there to read. I want to read, wanting to start it off down in verse 33. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. The Bible says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for our fellowship, our singing. Thank you for light, as we read about in your word this morning. I pray that our minds can get clear now and just get focused on you. We can worship you, Lord. Be willing to hear from you today. I pray you speak. I know you speak to us, Lord. I know you speak through your word in other ways, but help us to be receptive to your voice, how you speak to us. And that's my prayer as always, Lord. Maybe somebody not sure about their salvation, Lord, maybe need to be saved today. And what a great day that would be. And we'll put that in your hands in Jesus' name, I pray. The light of the body is the title of the message. And, you know, looking at that verse, and I remember many times, and sometimes this isn't taken out of context, but this is a deeper verse than that. But a lot of times we have used, and like I said, not doing any harm, I'll show you that. It says in verse 33 that no man, when he hath a light, lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And that applies very well, and we'll see that it really is talking about also the same thing. But a lot of times we use it, preachers use it to talk about our testimony that we ought to have in the world, that we ought to, not have our, we receive the gospel, we have salvation, and that we should, that men should see that, in the world, see the light of Christ in our life. That's a true saying, that's a true thing, and that's even really, it does talk about that. But this verse has got a deeper meaning than even that. Although that does apply. And I want to kind of get to the other thing, and then we'll talk about that just a little bit in a minute. But the Bible teaches in a lot of other places that the eye is the instrument through which the whole body is illuminated. Now, this would apply both physically and spiritually. You know, with our eye, we can see a lot of things. We can see light. We can see color. I'm going to talk about this tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm going to kind of carry over the companion verses for this. That we can thank God for light, right? That we can see things. So it illuminates the whole body. We understand that. When we get in a dark place, we want to turn on a light. But it's also, we're going to see that he's talking about a spiritual perception there, that the eye still, we see with a spiritual eye, we can see, the things of God, and we can see light. But Jesus, if you got a red letter Bible, this is a red letter. This means it's Jesus' exact words. That's what he's saying. Now, I started out in verse 33, so I'm kind of in the middle of a text. So that tells us right away, well, what preceded? What made Jesus say that? In other words, get down real simple. Why did Jesus say what he said? And so he was speaking to the Jews of his day. And he backed up and he said something. I'm doing everything backwards. So you go up to verse 29. It says, "And when the people were gathered thick together," I mean a lot of them, "he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, but there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet.'" We know that to be Jonah. "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So he was speaking to them, and he called them in verse 29 an evil generation. Why did he call them an evil generation? Back up to verse 14. It said, when he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. And so Jesus goes on. After that, when he got up to verse 29, he told them, listen. He said, you know, Jonah went and preached to Gentile nation, the Ninevites, in his day. Remember Jonah, he didn't want to go, but God got him to go. And he went down there and preached, and he and the Ninevites were convicted and convinced of God's judgment against all unrighteousness by the preaching of Jonah. They could see that. There was a light that was illuminated in them, and they knew this was the word of God. He tells them Gentiles knew, and he said, a greater than Jonah's here. And he tells them also that queen is talking about the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south. Queen of Sheba went when she heard about Solomon. You know, in the Old Testament, she wanted to go see Solomon. And when she saw all the blessings and the wisdom, and when she heard the wisdom of Solomon, she said, wow. She said, you know, surely that God is, you know, this, is, she was convicted that there was a God, at least convinced that God, when she saw that wisdom there. And Jesus went on to say, listen, greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonah's here. But guess what? The Gentiles or the Jews couldn't see, spiritually couldn't see that. Now look, we live in a world like that today. Man, there's people that can't see. They cannot see. Here's Jesus Christ. We just went through Easter. I mean, we've got the church, the history of the length of the church, the Word of God. We've got the Word of God preaching going on all over the place. Man, now you've got the internet and phone and television and preaching everywhere, churches everywhere today. And there's not all of them are preaching the truth, but there's a lot that are. And they're preaching the Word of God. It's all over the place. And then we had the resurrection. We just talked about the resurrection of Christ and the evidence for the resurrection. I went over all of that. And yet people still can't see it. And we all probably know people like that. I shared with you about a boy that just died that I grew up with. It was a school teacher. And lost as he could be, man. I mean, he believed there was a God, but he just would not get converted. He wouldn't really believe what the Word of God had to say. Really didn't want to look at the Word of God, I don't believe. But we all know people like that. Man, you just cannot, you can't get them to see. So it's a spiritual perception. There's another thing in the world. Listen, God's got another thing. We all have a conscience. And our conscience, you know, I've read this. If you sin, you have to sin against several things. You have to sin against yourself. You have to sin against God, the Word of God, but you have to sin against your conscience. Because our conscience reveals some things to us, and I think I'll show you that in a few minutes in the Word here. But, you know, our conscience is speaking to us. Before we knew the Word of God, didn't your conscience, you getting ready to do something wrong? Did you ever get that, you start getting that queasy feeling? Huh? Yeah, your conscience in there. So, why can't they see it? Like, if you're here saved today, somewhere along the line, you know that we got a song, right? I saw the light. Wasn't talking about this light. It was talking about a spiritual light. You saw it. But not everybody can see it. Not everybody does see it. And not everybody will see it. Why? Why is that? That's what I want to talk to you about just a little bit this morning. The Bible uses a term there down in our original text. In verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, that word single. Now, the light, the word light there in verse 34 is actually the word lamp. And it's a little different than light. But this is what it means because of that writing, that it's not the light itself, but it is. There's a light outside of it. It's a light outside of it. So we think about this. There's kind of a play going back and forth between the eye being looking at natural light and the spiritual light, you know, the spiritual sight, which we'll get to that. But our eye, our physical eye, it receives light, it interprets the light, and it applies the light. It's the same way with the spiritual eye. This is why we, you know, either get it or you don't. Your spiritual eye can receive the light from God. It can interpret the light, which actually the Holy Spirit does that for you. The Word of God explains itself and then applies the light. Now, it's odd. It didn't say, it said either there's a single eye, and then it went on to say, it said in verse 34, when the eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. Okay, so we got two contrasts. We have a single eye and an evil eye, but you think, well, the opposite of evil would be good. You know, we ought to say, well, you ought to have a good eye, or you ought to have, or an evil eye. So why did Jesus use the word single? The Greek word for that word single is haplos. I don't speak Greek, but that's what it is, haplos. And it means single-folded, or without fold. Now, the eye that's not single, that has a fold in it or some kind of a defect in it, is called astigmatic. Astigmatism. My daughter has one. She has it. Her eye was crooked when she was young. Something wrong with it. But when it's astigmatic, that's a condition where the rays of light don't converge to a single point in the retina. And so then that distorts your vision. Okay, so this is in the physical world. There's some fold. Something's out of place. And so Jesus is talking to them, and he had healed somebody over here. Had a devil, and they said, "Well, we want to see another sign. We want to see another sign about that." And he went on and gave them some signs and showed them how easy that the Gentiles, who didn't know what the Jews knew about God as far as that went, I mean, they got convinced. You know, Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon. She said, "Man, yeah, I'm convicted. There's a God. Convinced there's a God." And the Assyrians, who were really wicked people, man, Jonah went down there and preached to them. And buddy, they had a revival. I think I read one time it was about 125 years, 150 year revival in that nation. I mean, God did end up judging them, because you know how things go, kind of like revivals around church. Churches. One day it's full, the next day it's next Sunday it's empty. Those things happen like that, right? But they repented and because of that. And here they were, they didn't know what the Jews knew, and yet they got convicted and convinced and saw the light that God had laid on them. And so here Jesus is telling the fact that you guys don't see the light. The light, and here I am, a greater than Solomon and a greater than Queen of Sheba, or a greater than Jonah, is here standing right in front of you. Jesus was right there in the flesh. You know, the same thing happened today. If we had Jesus standing right here in the flesh preaching, and you'd bring in all your lost friends, there's a good chance a whole lot of them would go out still lost. Because, you know, even though Jesus, listen, we're still preaching his word, right? But there was people in Jesus' day, they rejected him, here they are. They're arguing with Jesus. Say, "Oh, you're casting out devils by devils." And that's Jesus. They told him that in another place, and he said, "A house divided against itself will not stand." So he said, that isn't going to fly. Devil wouldn't do that. Devil wouldn't cast out his own self, right? He wouldn't do that. And so the fact that here they were, they wouldn't see the light. And Jesus Christ, who is the light, was standing right in front of them, was proof that there was something wrong with their spiritual eye. You know, God gave us an instrument to see with. We see with our eye. This is the deal right here, right? I think we have an instrument that we have a soul, a spirit. We also have a conscience within us. We have the ability. Everybody has the ability to see the light that God has given. I guess I'm going to say it that way. Everybody has the ability to see that if they want to. But there's things going on in the world that we don't see that are just as real. How many of you know right now, we're sitting here right now, there is radio waves going right through here. You know that? Can't see it. Matter of fact, right now I can't even hear it. Unless that is the ringing that's in my ear 24/7. I mean, maybe. There's radio waves going through the air. What do you got to have to hear them? You got to have the right instrument, right? So we turn on a radio right now, click it on one of the stations, and there it is. Isn't that amazing? Kind of. We're just so used to this stuff. When you sit around and think, your mind can get all fuzzied up sitting around this afternoon thinking about radio waves coming through the air with music on. Or how about what blows my mind? I'm going to send you a picture on my phone to your phone, and it goes through the air to a satellite, even, I guess, or dish, and you get the photograph. Huh? It's just like Star Trek, man. Beam me up, Scotty, man. I mean, there it is. It's amazing. But we see, we don't see it. We don't see a bunch of pictures flying through the air. We don't see the radio waves going, but it's just as real. We know it is. If we got the right instrument, we'll find out about it, right? We can find out. It's the same thing with God and the light that he transmit. You know, that it's right. It's if you have the right instrument, if you got your eye tuned, your spiritual eye, that inner eye, that's really what it's really getting to that. That's what he wants to talk about. When that's tuned in to see God, guess what? You'll see God. You'll see the things of God. And so that's an obvious thing. Spiritual perception. Spiritual perception. We were talking about that kind of in our Sunday school class this morning. We were talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's talking about you know, the very same thing. Here was Jesus in the flesh, the light of the world. Because sometimes people say, well, you know, preacher, the reason people don't get saved is because you're preaching it isn't any good. Well, you know what? If Jesus was here, people still didn't get saved. Amen. See, I don't feel that bad. They didn't get saved when Jesus preached. And so, God, I think this, here's the thing. The Gentiles in Jonah and Solomon's day, they could see enough light, the light that God gave them. This question comes up sometimes, I believe, and I think this is, and I don't know that I know all the answers to everything, and this isn't maybe going to totally satisfy everybody, but some people talk about, well, you know, I know God is just and God is fair. What about people in the parts of the world that somebody, there's a possibility, there's some of these tribes out there somewhere in, you know, Borneo somewhere that maybe they haven't really heard anything or know anything about God. They haven't totally known anything about God. I just know this from the Word of God, but God has given us that conscience. He has given us the capacity to know Him, and the Bible talks about it. He has given us creation. I know this, you'll be judged by what light you got. You know, there's enough there that people can say, hey, there's somebody greater than me, that somebody has created, there's creation. We can see that. There had to be a creator. None of these buildings, I was watching a little video, it was old Ray Comfort. He's a real good evangelist and all that, and a girl said she was an atheist. I watched one of them the other day, just popped up and I was looking at it, and she said she was an atheist and she didn't believe there was a God and where did God come from, and he said, hey, look around. Look at this building right here. You know a builder built it. I mean, it might have been 100 years ago. The guy's dead and gone, but a builder built it, right? It had to be a real thing. He said, everything we see, so look at the creation. Somebody had to build it. He said, where did God come from? You know what he told her? He said, every atheist that doesn't want to believe the Word of God asks that question. Every one of them, when you give them the building thing, they say, well, where did God come from? And, of course, he's pre-existent, always eternal. He's eternal, so he didn't have a beginning and end. But anyway, that's the way it is. You can, you know, we see it. We understand it. But here's Jesus, the light of the world, And I think God has given some light to somebody. They can operate with what they have. You know, they can just know, they can seek and search. And I just know God ends up speaking to those people, you know, somehow, some way. And so there was Jesus before them and they couldn't see it. So there was this inner eye. Well, he said if there could be an evil eye, it said here, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, pure, whole. The body is also full of light. But when the eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Now that word evil is poneros in the Greek. And this is what this means. It means it's not only evil in itself, but it's evil in its influence. How it influences the body. You know, and we understand that. In verse 34, it says, but when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. See, that means it influences how you look at things, how you perceive things. It leads us astray. You know, it leads to darkness. I noticed this in life over my years of knowing different people. And, you know, I knew some people, I knew people that were chronic liars. This is the thing I found out about a chronic liar. You might know somebody like they lie about stuff they don't have no reason. They don't have to lie about it. They always think everybody else is lying. Have you ever been around? You know people like that? Y'all probably even Buckhannon's a small town. I don't know anybody's names. It'll probably pop up. But yeah, I knew a couple of people, man. They were just chronic liars. They lied all the time. They always thought everybody else was lying to them about something. That, because that's the world that they lived in. That's how they couldn't see, their vision was distorted because their eye wasn't single. It was the evil eye. And it doesn't matter if people that steal stuff always think somebody going to steal something from them. They're always looking for that. If they cheat, they always think everybody else is cheating. You know, always looking, always watching that. So they get, what happens is when your eye is evil, you have wrong thoughts about things and about people. You know, so these guys, they said, well, listen, give us a sign for crying out loud. I look back. I backed up in just one gospel text. I just backed up in Luke. I said, well, let me see what happened before this. You know, before he hit it. He had already turned the water into wine. He had already cast out demons in Capernaum. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had healed a leper, a paralytic man, a man with a withered hand. He had healed a centurion's servant. He had stilled the storm and the wind out on the lake. He had cast out demons out of that man in Gadara, in the Gadarenes. He had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he had healed two other children, I think, that was possessed of devils of some kind before he got to this right here. And yet, you know what? They said, this is the same group that said, hey, well, you know, you got to show us a sign. Crying out loud, if you can't believe the signs that's already been shown, what's one more going to do? You know, what it is you just can't get it through your hard head because you won't. It really has to do with this. They won't see it. It's not that they can't. They could. Huh? You know why a lot of times we don't find things? Not looking for them. Somebody said, you know, we can't find God the same reason a thief can't find the police. He ain't looking for the police. He ain't looking for the thief. See, we don't look for things. And I don't believe another thing would have done, one more sign wouldn't have helped, because they had a spiritual eye seeing problem. And it's really self-inflicted. It is self-inflicted thing. It's not something they can't help. Let me put it that way. So what causes it? What causes the evil eye? What causes our eye to be something wrong with our spiritual eye, I'm talking about? What causes that? In Matthew 6:21, this is what the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he goes on to talk about light after that too, in that book. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so this tells us that the eye of the soul is afflicted by the condition of the heart. Or affected, I said afflicted. I guess afflicted would be good too. The eye of the soul is affected by the condition of the heart. And so our affections limit and determine our perception. Back to we see what we want to see. You know, we see. And so if people don't want to see things, Lord knows we ought to be, there's plenty of illustrations of this in the news today, in the world today, that people don't, they can't see what they don't want to see. I mean, it's right there in front of them. We see it all the time. And so, and people can see what they want to see because they are looking for it, or more precisely with Matthew chapter 6, they love it, what they love. And so we live in a world, as I say, that constantly closes its eyes to the facts. And when you can see, you always are thinking, why in the world can't people see that? If there's ever a lack of common sense, it's in the world we're living in today. And it's, I mean, you don't have common sense, you just can't see what's plain there in front of you, right there. Huh? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, right? I mean, that's what the fool. Now, the danger of closing your eyes to the light, as I said, there's dangers there. We have within us a conscience. Now, I know the Bible tells that we can sear our conscience, sear in your conscience like getting a callus, you know, or getting a burn. If you keep getting a burn, you get scar tissue, and that's why you can't feel it as well. You don't notice it. You can get a seared conscience where it doesn't affect you the same way. We have a conscience. I was telling you about the conscience before we even knew God or knew God's law. There was things that we knew that were inherently wrong. We just knew it. It's something that you got. I remember, I'm going to have to confess up. One time I was a little kid, I took something I shouldn't have taken it, and it was out of a store. Lo and behold, I grew up in Virginia Beach, and there's a Facebook group thing you can get on, It's great memories of Virginia Beach. Last night, I already have my outline done. Last night, I was looking on there, and there was pictures of old, they had some pictures of old 7-Elevens from back in the day. There was a 7-Eleven out in front of King's Grant where I stole a Tootsie Roll Pop when I was a little kid. There it was! Guilty, man. Couple kids. In the picture, it was an old picture. They was on the old spider bikes, three of them rolling out of 7-Eleven. I looked, I blew it up to see if it was me. I'm not kidding. I remember when I did that. It was just out of the blue. This is how the devil works, man. Here I am, a kid. I wasn't no intention of doing anything like that. I got down the aisle, man. I was just standing around there, eyeball. You know how they used to put them? They put all them old chocolate lollipops in there, you know, and there they were in the thing down there, and nobody. And man, I got that thing, and I put it in my, I'm going to tell you what, my heart was racing a million miles an hour. Huh? I had fear came all over me, man. I was shaking, man. I was going out of there, man. That old spider bike never made it so fast. I got on that thing, boom, out of there, man. Went on, whoo, man. I felt guilty. And the next time I took one, no. I'm gonna honestly say right here. Never stole another Tootsie Roll Pop out of 7-Eleven the rest of my life. Just so you know, 7-Eleven is safe. But I'm telling you what, where did all that fear, and my heart rate was jacked up, man. I tell you what, if I'd have been real old, I'd probably had a heart attack and fell over dead. Where did that come from? It's that conscience, man. That's the light of God. That's the light of God, you know, speaking to you. And we've got that conscience. And God has given us conscience. And it gives us a sense of an unseen presence, which it's God, you know, that it's light. It's really the light. And it's a witness of God. Now, listen, we can disobey our conscience. We can, you know, and after a while, what happens? I guarantee you, every thief that ever got started thieving, the first thing, they had the same reaction that I had. And they might have had it again the next time, but the more they got away with it and the more they did it, after a while, you know what? That went away. The fear of it, it went away. Man, we're looking out now, we're talking about these gangs and stuff right now. They do not fear the police. They do not even fear the judge. They don't fear getting caught. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day. It said, you know what? You know what they're going to have to learn to fear? They're going to have to learn to fear the victim. Huh? That's right. They're going to have to learn to fear the victim they're about to pick on. When every time they, you know what? Carry laws. I like when they start realizing about it, most of the people they're getting ready to commit a crime on is packing, and they might get killed. Right? They may fear that, but they don't fear the judges. Look at the judge. They let them out the side door of the courthouse, right? Huh? They're letting the criminals out the side door of the courthouse. I mean, they don't fear the judge, and nothing happens to them half the time anyway. When I was a kid, man, when somebody murdered somebody, man, it was life imprisonment or the electric chair, man. They're going to put them to death, and they put more of them to death than they put in the electric chair. Now you go murder somebody, oh, 20 years, which I know 20 years is a long time, but, man, I was thinking back in the day, 20 years. You probably got that for stealing, you know, back in the day. That Tootsie Roll Pop, they'd have caught me, man. I'd have been in. I'd have been at the Crossbar Hotel, man. Hope that thing lasts a long time, right? But no, man, I mean, this is it. And so how did they get that way? Because they've committed crimes so much that there's no longer their conscience. They don't hear it. They don't see it. They don't feel the conscience. So that this danger, this witness of God, and disregarding the witness of God. I believe this. I think this more than anything. And well, I'll read you a verse right here in Romans chapter 2. This is about the conscience. Verse 14. It said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So there it tells you right there, see? Your conscience, you can accuse or excuse, and you know we're good at making up excuses, but what happened is that we keep searing that conscience. And I'm going to tell you what, this is what happened. This is the most dangerous thing. The most dangerous thing, in a sense, is somebody sitting in a church every week, week in, week out, that's lost and not getting saved. Because what happens is that conviction of the Holy Spirit, when it might have been strong one day, and it might have been strong at one time, and it might have been pulling them and telling them that they were lost and they need to get saved, and they said, well, not today for some reason, and not this week, and I'm going to put it off, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to find something out, and I'm going to quit doing all these bad things, I'm going to get rid of some of my bad habits, and then I'll get saved. And then guess what? The next time that the Holy Ghost convicted, it wasn't quite as strong, and because that conscience is getting seared, it was probably as strong, but the conscience is seared. And then the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and after a while, you know, you can sit through a service where the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you, trying to deal with your conscience. But what happens is you sit there and you've gotten so used to it. You're so used to denying. And you know what? After a while, I think there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to say, you know, it's like knocking on somebody's door. Listen, if you went to your buddy's house and knocked on the door every day for a week and you knew good and well he was home, how many times do you think you're going to keep going back? And he won't answer the door and he won't answer the door? Huh? I got people right now on my phone list. There's no point in me calling them. There's no use wasting my time. And they're preachers because they never going to answer the phone. They just, and it ain't just with me. You know, they don't like you. No, they do that with everybody. They don't answer the phone. Why call them? I don't call them no more. So I try to get to them another way. I have to find out another way. And so one of the guys I grew up with since I was 4 years old. Last couple times I called, he did answer. I will give him that. But listen, that conscience is bearing witness. And God's just going to judge men by the rejection of the light that he gives them. And he constantly gives light. He is light. So nobody's going to stand before God one day and honestly say that they didn't get anything from God. They'll never be able to do that because God is just, right? And either men receive it or they reject it. Last point, the full body right there, the transforming power we see in verse 36. It says, if the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light as when the bright shining of a candle doth give light. Now here's right here where this testimony part of verse 33 comes into play. Man, I'm telling you what, when the whole body is full of light, it's not going to be hidden. You know? People are going to know that you're saved. They're going to know that you know the Lord, and we shouldn't hide that. It's going to be on a lampstand. The world's going to see. The light coming into the soul transforms that soul to an outward light. Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, you open your eyes to the light. You open your eyes to the light by opening your heart to God. God sees you. So this is what I want to ask you in closing. I want to ask you a question. I want you to listen real carefully. What's the witness of your conscience right now about your salvation? What's your conscience saying to you? You've got to speak through that conscience. What's your conscience saying right now, right this second? Are you saved or are you lost? If your conscience is saying that, hey, you're not saved, you need to get saved, you're lost. You know, you have to act. And you can say, you can just deny and say, well, no, I'm not going to do it. Hey, listen, there's no guarantee it's going to be another conviction. And I'll tell you what, if it comes again, it may not be as strong. It may not feel the same way. And you can get callous and there's a danger. And listen, there's tons and tons of people that are in hell today. All of them. Everyone in hell today. Their conscience at one time or another told them that things were not right between them and God, that they needed to be saved. And if you're here today, what's your conscience saying? I'd respond to that. Now listen, your conscience is not totally trustworthy, because our conscience, we can lie to it. We can lie ourselves, accuse or excuse one another, right? We can do that. Your conscience can do it, but we have the Word of God behind it, see? So it's an instrument, but we have the Word of God that has to go through that. You know, what's it really saying? Because I know people listen. They're as lost as they can be. They have nothing to do with God. They're not in prayer. They don't have anything to do with God whatsoever. And they think, oh, man, I'm good, man. I'm saved. I'm fine. Man, tell me your conscience is convincing you of that? No. God's not. The Holy Spirit's not. What's your conscience saying today to you? If you need to be saved, man, this is the time. This is the hour, buddy. The Lord's coming back. I keep thinking about it, man. The Lord is coming back. It's everything that in the world is pointing that way. He'll be back soon, and we don't have a guarantee for tomorrow either. But whether he comes back or not. Paul, you come. If God spoke to you today, if you need to be saved, man, what a day. I'm thankful that God, you know, I knew God all my life. I'm so thankful somebody carried the gospel to me one time, and I listened to what they had to say, and they asked me, they said, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins? And I hadn't. There was conviction there that I needed to do that according to the Word of God. And I did, and I got saved. Thank God for that.